That's right. Welcome into the rundown here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. I am Chase McCabe. He is Ryan Porth. Good Friday. I had to think for a second of what day it actually was because that is the quarantine life. But Ryan, what is going on? How are you, my friend?
I'm doing just fine, Chaser. How are you?
I'm good. Good. Ready for a very exciting weekend. You know, got a lot planned. I'm going to go watch a couple of trees and, you know, just kind of see how they're doing and just sit in the yard and do nothing.
Yeah, that's what your weekend is going to entail?
Yeah, that's my solid plan. Solid plan. A little porch sitting.
It does sound like a solid plan.
Yeah, that's just kind of how we roll these days. But such is life here in the Music City and in the quarantine life. So we have another day of voting in our Nashville sports bracket, Ryan. And, you know, we're whittling this thing down. We're in the Elite Eight. So
we are at the Elite Eight. And yesterday's results didn't really have any voting going down to the wire. It was pretty well figured out early in the day that it was going to be Eddie George and Mookie Betts in the Phil Bredesen region, and then Pecorine and Philip Forsberg in the David Poile region. So that is half of your Elite Eight, and then the other half is up for vote this morning. It just went live. Steve McNair versus Roman Yossi in the Jeff Fisher region, and then Shea Weber versus Frank Wycheck in the Tim Corbin region.
Yeah, I feel like Shea probably wins that one, but Steve McNair, Roman Yossi, what a matchup.
I don't think it's going to be close.
You don't?
No. So I'm telling you, Steve, my prediction for this one is going to be Steve McNair probably 70-30 or 75-25.
Wow. Ooh. I don't know about that. I think Steve McNair wins, obviously, but I think it might be like a 55-45. I could be wrong.
I don't think it's going to be that close.
Right now it's 57-43, but obviously we just opened voting.
We can make a quarantine bet on this.
Okay, what are we betting?
I don't know.
All right, we can do something.
We could totally do something.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. We'll come up with something during one of the breaks.
Okay.
So there's a little NFL news there, Mr. Porth. Bill O'Brien.
He strikes again.
Master general manager-ish. He is at it again. They're in the process of trading with the Rams for wide receiver Brandon Cooks. I guess in his mind, this is supposed to be the replacement for DeAndre Hopkins, who was traded away to Arizona for David Johnson and some draft picks. Not a first-round pick, but just some draft picks. So now the Texans look like they're in a position to get Brandon Cooks. Okay. Like, that's supposed to be your answer? I mean, Brandon Cooks, oh, all right, but he's not DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at Brandon Cooks, look, these trades that he's made this offseason, I think he's putting together a pretty good team for 2017, if we're being honest about ourselves. But, I mean, look, you're giving up a second-round pick for Cooks and a fourth. Not very impressive. And when you look back at the Texans trade history, really dating back to last August, I don't think there's been a trade. They've made many trades, and I don't think there is one trade where you look at it and say, you know what, that was a good trade by the Texans. There's not one of them. Not one.
Because they don't have a GM.
No, and the composite, when you look at them as a whole, they have traded in a composite form. They have traded Jadeveon Clowney, DeAndre Hopkins, a couple other players, a 2020 first-round pick, a 2020 second-round pick, a 2020 fourth-round pick, a 2021 first-round pick, and a 2021 second-round pick. Whew. Okay, they've traded all of that. And then they have acquired Laremy Tunsil, Kenny Stills, Brandon Cooks, David Johnson, Gerrion Conley, Barkevious Mingo, Jake Martin, a 2020 second-round pick, and some late-round picks either this year, next year, or in 2022.
Very exciting.
That is poor general managing 101 right there, Bill O'Brien. Clowney, Hopkins, two firsts, two seconds, and you're only getting Tunsil, Stills, Cooks, Johnson, and a few other players that aren't going to move the needle at all. Like, it's bad. What's going on with the Houston Texans is bad. And when you look at what Brandon Cooks and Randall Cobb who they just signed, Randall Cobb, in the offseason. When you look at Cox or Cooks and Cobb combined, they combined to make as much as DeAndre Hopkins wanted, close to $20 million. Who would you rather have, Hopkins or Cooks and Cobb?
I would rather have Hopkins.
I mean, wouldn't any GM?
Yeah, of course they would. But here's the problem. All right, so where did, this is what always seems to happen too. Where did Bill O'Brien come from? Where did he come?
Patriots.
The Patriots. Okay. So he's trying to be Belichick. He's trying to do the Belichick way of things, and that is, you know, you get as much as you can out of some players, but when you get to the point where you know it's not going to hurt you, you just go ahead and walk away. You let him go. You don't overpay him, or you trade him and you get something for him. That's what he's doing. The problem is Bill Belichick's actually good at that, and Bill O'Brien is not. Bill O'Brien's just making his team worse. Bill Belichick has the right pieces in place that he's developed what is behind the players that he's getting rid of, and so therefore they don't really miss a beat once they trade him away. Now, he's about to have his biggest test because does he have the right guy to play quarterback? He's always had Tom Brady. Now he doesn't. So what is that going to look like? But Bill O'Brien is now trying to do the same thing, and it's not working, and it's not going to work.
It is failing miserably. And look, are these nice players that he has acquired? Sure, Laremy Tunsil, he's a pretty good tackle. Brandon Cooks, he's an all right receiver, but he has concussion issues. David Johnson has a lot of injury issues himself. And you're adding these players to a core in Houston that is already injury riddled. J.J. Watt can't stay healthy. Will Fuller, he's always on the injury report with a hamstring or a groin injury. Brandon Cooks, always hurt. David Johnson, always hurt. Like, I just don't understand the logic behind Bill O'Brien's thinking. I understand Bill O'Brien came out, it would have been a few weeks ago after the Hopkins trade, and basically said that the contract demands for Hopkins and the fact that he wanted so much money is the reason why they traded him. And if you're going to trade Hopkins, you have to get a lot more out of a trade than a second round pick and David Johnson. You just have to. And he's burning that thing to the ground. I mean, the thing I will give him credit for is that he always finds a way to keep the Texans in the playoff hunt. And would it surprise me if the Texans at the end of the day this season were right there at 8-8, 9-7, 10-6? No, because they've done that throughout Bill O'Brien's tenure. I don't know how he keeps doing it. But eventually, all these moves are going to backfire. And I would guess here in the next couple of years, the fact that they don't have all of this draft capital, they're trading star players for average players, at some point, that's got to catch up.
Yeah, and I mean, it could be this year. I mean, right now, I look at the AFC South, and the top two teams in my mind are the Titans and the Colts. You don't know. You never know what the Jags are going to be or going to do. I mean, I don't think Minshew Mania is going to work for them,
no.
But I could be wrong. So I don't really have a lot of faith in them, and then I definitely don't have a lot of faith in the Texans, even though I believe they have the best quarterback in the AFC South. I mean, Watson, to me, is the best guy of the four teams. He just has nothing to work with now because of his head coach / GM.
Yeah, I feel bad for Deshaun Watson, but I do think we have to keep Houston at least within the picture with the Titans and the Colts. And I feel the same way as you, Chase, where it probably comes down to the Titans and the Colts. But are we sold that the Titans and the Colts are going to be 10 or 11 win teams? Are we 100% sold on that?
And that's a fair question. I need to see the draft. I need to see what happens at the draft. I need
to see, and the rest of free agency to round out these rosters.
Right, because I think there are a couple more moves. I mean, look, if the Titans land Clowney and then they clean up in the draft, then it's obviously going to change the answer. And it's not only our answer of being right here in the middle of things. I think you're going to have other media outlets looking at the Titans going, okay, they're legit. That's a 10, 11, 12 win team. And we've talked to several people over the course of the last few weeks that have basically said what we all thought, and that is that's the next step for them. They have to get out of the 9-7 world of four straight years, and now they got to start going 10, 11, 12. you know, winning a division. I think, you know, even though they went to the AFC title game last year, they need to win the AFC South. That needs to be next on the checklist for the Titans. So to answer your question, I think it's still incomplete. This roster is incomplete. But
let me ask you this with the statement that you just made of they need to win the division. Would you hold it against the Titans if they won 10 or 11 games, but somehow the Colts won 12?
Depends on what they do in the playoffs at that point. I mean, that I keep basically answering your question with another question, but that I think that's the truth. You know, they if they don't win the division, but they win 10 or 11 games and they make a deep playoff run similar to what they did last year, then obviously you feel good about it. Obviously you're not crying over the fact that they don't have a regular season division title.
Well, I think it's a little unfair to say they need to win the division when they can only control two of the games against a team like the Colts or two of the games against the Texans. I mean, think back to 99 when the Titans went 13-3 and they were a wild card team because Jacksonville went 14-2 and the two losses that Jacksonville had were against the Titans. You know, that's not the Titans' fault that they didn't win the division that year.
No, and I understand that. That stuff's going to happen. But would you not agree that when you're going through the checklist of good to great, I'll use their phrase, winning divisions, I mean, that's a part of it. I mean, we celebrated the Predators for two straight years for winning their first division titles in their history, and they were 20 years in.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, those things are important. Are they the most important? No, absolutely not. Like I said, if they win 10 or 11 games and don't win the division, but they get to the Super Bowl, nobody cares about the AFC South division crown.
Correct.
Nobody, you know, so, I mean, last year, nobody cared about it because they went to the AFC title game. So there are different ways to look at it, but I do think that it's something on their minds. And, I mean, I know it is. I've talked to players. They've said, yeah, we want to win the division. That's a part of what we want to do. So let's do this. I think this is an interesting conversation about the state of the AFC South, and it kind of starts with some of the moves that have been made. We'll get into that even more when we come back. He's Ryan Porth. I am Chase McCabe. It is The Rundown on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Are you working from home during the COVID-19 pandemic? Stream us from anywhere. Download the Game Nashville app, enable our Alexa skill or Google Home, and ask to play 102.5 The Game or live stream from our website, thegamenashville.com, because we are the game, because we are that damn good. Welcome back in to The Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe, Ryan Porth. Marquise Munson is back at the Wholesale Inc. studios powered by RumbleOn.com, and we're discussing the AFC South and the state of the AFC South because Bill O'Brien is basically telling everyone, Ryan, no, I don't want it. I don't want to win it. I'm just going to trade all my good players away, get mediocre players in here, and you know the rest of you can just have fun.
It's almost like Bill O'Brien is trying to show like how powerful he is. Like, okay, DeAndre Hopkins, if you want close to $20 million and you're going to act like you're not going to play, okay, we'll trade you. And it's just not going to work out well.
No, it's going to end poorly. Now, he has found a way. This has kind of been the argument sometimes whenever you hate on the Texans. Well, I mean, they win the division, they make the playoffs. Okay, yeah, you're right, they do. Then what do? They squander leads. I mean, they had it won against Kansas City. I was salivating, going, all right, here we go. Mm-hmm. They're beating Kansas City. This is perfect because Houston, there's no way that if Houston gets all the way to the AFC title game, or they were going to, like the Titans got that. Like I
the,
feel
the Titans
so
were going to win.
Yeah, the Titans were going to take care of Houston and go to the Super Bowl. I was salivating, and I was sitting in our studios because I had just landed from Baltimore and I'm listening to the game watching the game on the plane because, you know, they have Wi-Fi. I'm listening to it on the radio, go back to the station. Darren's in there for a Preds game. So we're watching Preds and Jets and then that game against Kansas City and Houston. We're like, oh, here we go. I guess, you know, Darren's looking at me going, I guess you're going to Houston next weekend. I'm like, yeah, I've never been to Houston. This will be fun. And by the time the Preds game was over, and I ended up doing some post game with him, the Chiefs had come back, and we're just sitting there looking at each other. Bill O'Brien should be fired. Like, Bill O'Brien should have been fired for that. Now, that was probably a knee-jerk reaction. That was probably, you know, just in the moment. But, I mean, those are the things that happen. and we've talked to Sean Salisbury many, many times, former quarterback that does radio down in Houston, and you know, we ask him his opinion on Bill O'Brien, and that's what always comes up of, yeah, people hate him. People want him gone because of things like that. Because, yeah, they do enough to win the division in the regular season. This goes back to your question about the Titans. This is what I don't want to see happen with the Titans, that you do enough, you win the division, and they get knocked out in the first round in the playoffs. That's what happens with the Texans, and so that's why nobody cares about the division there. So that's why I think you always are hearing Bill O'Brien needs to be fired, Bill O'Brien needs to be fired. But the problem is nobody holds him accountable now. Now he's got control. He's the GM. He's the coach. You know, ownership is, in my opinion, kind of checked out since Bob McNair passed away. So they let him do whatever he wants to do. And now, you know, and now he's making all these dumb trades.
Yeah, and well, and we're only talking about the trades. There are some in-game decisions that Bill O'Brien makes. When you look back to that Chiefs game that you're referencing, the fake punt that he tried to pull off, I don't know how he still has a job, because he's had an abundance of fireable offenses over the last couple of years. And, you know, I don't know how the Texans ownership can look at this and say, you know what, he's doing a good job. We're really proud of the job that Bill O'Brien is doing, outside of him, you know, squeezing blood from a stone every year and somehow getting his team into the playoffs. And I think you have to attribute a lot of that to how weak the division has been over the years, where, you know, they've almost by default, by process of elimination, with TJ Yates at quarterback, you know, they find themselves winning the division and hosting that first game in the wild card round, and typically getting their butts kicked by either the Colts or the Chiefs or whoever goes down there. So it's just mind-boggling to me that Bill O'Brien still has a job. And at the same time, the fact that that Texans team still has Deshaun Watson, the best quarterback in the division, I still think you have to respect them to the point where they have to be viewed as a contender within the division in terms of winning the division, because I don't think the Titans and the Colts have separated themselves enough this offseason where we can just discount Houston.
Yeah, I agree with that. So let's do this. I want to do kind of a breakdown of the AFC South. I'm going to start with this, the four head coaches. If you had to give me your ranking of the four head coaches right now, how you would rank them right now at this moment in the AFC South, how would that look?
Vrabel 1, Frank Reich 2, Bill O'Brien 3, and
Doug Marone
4.
Okay, I have no pushback on that. I think Frank Reich has done a tremendous job, but Vrabel, based on last season, has him number 1 in my opinion.
Yeah, but before the playoffs, I would have said Frank Reich 1, Vrabel 2, O'Brien 3, and Marone 4.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. All right, general managers.
Well, Bill O'Brien is 4.
Absolutely.
You know, Chris David Ballard. We all love J-Rob. I'm going to put Chris Ballard 1.
Yep, I'd agree with that.
J-Rob 2, the Jacksonville. Who?
David Caldwell.
Yes, David Caldwell. I'd put him 3.
Okay, I would agree with that. No pushback there.
Okay.
So right now, if you're basing it on those rankings, I mean, we pretty much agree that it's Titans, Colts in some fashion, 1 and 2. Now, you can get into the conversation of what's the drop-off between 2 and 3, and I think, again, you have to wait until after the draft. Rosters, just currently constructed rosters pre-draft.
Titans 1, Colts 2, Texans 3, Jags 4.
Okay, I would agree with that too. My question with the Colts is going to be the quarterback position. And that's a question that the Titans have had for the last couple of years, and now they don't, because they have signed Tannehill. They are going with Ryan Tannehill. My question though is going to be, how much does Phillip Rivers truly have left in the tank? What's going to be the plan behind him? Because I think we would both agree, and you tell me if you don't, Frank Reich would be the head coach that I would want to develop a quarterback. Because I think he's very, very good at quarterback development. Agree?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it all depends on who's going to be that guy, because I believe they're going to draft a quarterback. They should draft a quarterback. And I don't know exactly who it is. Everybody's high on Jalen Hurts right now. You know, this is something we talked about yesterday, that Jalen Hurts, that, and there have been a ton of scouts, there have been a ton of experts that were sour on him and didn't think he was a pro quarterback, that all of a sudden after the combine, they've kind of changed their tune. Now, Teron Davenport has always been a fan of Jalen Hurts. He's always thought that he had what it takes to play, so I'll give him credit for that. But I could see the Colts and Jalen Hurts possibly being a fit.
I think if I'm the Colts, I'm probably spending your first-round pick on a quarterback. If I'm Chris Ballard, because the uncertainty that you mentioned around Phillip Rivers, you know, I believe he signed a 2-year deal. I don't know if he has 2 years left in him. He may only have this 1 year. And if you could find somebody in the first round that could sit a year and learn under Rivers, who's been a really smart quarterback over the years, he just, for whatever reason, hasn't been able to win the big ones whenever the Chargers have played in them. But
it's a 1-year deal.
It's a 1-year deal?
It's a 1-year deal.
Okay. So then, yeah, absolutely. I would pick a quarterback in the first round. So you're probably looking at Justin Herbert or Jordan Love. You know, if Tua falls, then I would absolutely take him. I don't think Tua falls out of the top 10.
I don't either. I don't know why that's still a conversation. I think he's probably destined for Miami. That's what I think. Top 5.
Totally. So, I mean, I would totally go quarterback in the first round. And if you can get Herbert, then you have Herbert sit for a year. I think Herbert would be a quarterback that would benefit from that, kind of the way that Patrick Mahomes did. And some other quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers obviously notoriously sat behind Brett Favre. I think if you can find a really talented quarterback to do that, then you're setting yourself up for success years down the road. If you continue to discount the quarterback position and roll with Rivers and Jacoby Brissett, then you're going to probably find yourself looking for a quarterback next offseason, and who knows what that looks like. I mean, Phillip Rivers is probably good enough to keep them out of the Trevor Lawrence hunt. Agree?
Yeah, and look, I think he's good enough to keep them in contention. I don't think that they really discounted the quarterback position. I mean, they kind of got screwed because Andrew Luck waited to the very last minute to retire, so they didn't have any. They were in training camp. They had nowhere to go. I mean, they had to go Jacoby Brissett at that point. There was nothing they were going to be able to do to find their next guy, and so they may do. Phillip Rivers is by far a huge upgrade over Jacoby Brissett, albeit at the end of his career.
Is he, though?
I think so. Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't say at this stage in his career that he's a huge upgrade over Brissett.
I do. I think with some of the receivers that they have there and Frank Reich and their relationship, I do. I could be totally wrong. His body just may not allow him to be, but I do. I think Jacoby Brissett is a solid, solid backup. He is somebody that if he's on your roster and you need 3 or 4 games out of him, he's got you. He'll take care of you. He's not a starter in this league. And Phillip Rivers has proven that he is. I mean, for whatever reason, those Chargers teams just were never quite good enough to get to the big dance, get to the Super Bowl. But I think he is. I'm going to stand by that. I didn't want him here, but I felt like that a team was going to give him a shot and let him be a starter again. And he could prove he could prove me wrong. He could go out and just be awful, but I definitely think he is.
I mean, when you look at the numbers last year, Rivers had 23 touchdowns, 20 picks, and Brissett had 18 touchdowns and 6 picks.
That's true. I mean, like I said, I could be wrong. But
Rivers had a higher completion percentage than Brissett, but Rivers is also 38. I'm hesitant to say that is a huge upgrade over Jacoby Brissett. I think it is to an extent, but, you know, if we're talking about Phillip Rivers from 5 years ago, then yes. But the current state of Phillip Rivers, we don't know. The fact that we don't know how much left he has in the tank makes him just a moderate upgrade in my view.
No, they obviously saw something in him to pay him $25 million. So, that's, I mean, a 1-year, $25 million contract, which tells me that's probably it. I don't really look at that as a prove it deal. It could be, but you know, I think just based on this entire conversation, you need to find the guy that can take over next season. Now, I do think that teams rush quarterbacks. I think that's just kind of how it is in any sport nowadays. You don't have time to sit. I think Aaron Rodgers doesn't have the Hall of Fame career that he has if he doesn't sit behind Brett Favre for, what was it, 3 years? They sat behind him. I think that's very important. Marcus Mariota is one of those that I think had he had time to sit and had time to develop, he would have been much better. Had the original plan of, you know, Vince Young sitting behind McNair or Vince Young sitting behind, you know, Collins or one of the starting quarterbacks, Locker, the same thing, sitting behind Hasselbeck, had they stuck with that, I think those stories could have gone a little bit differently. With all the money involved now, with a first round pick or you know, just somebody like that that you invest so much in, you have to rush them. You have to put them in. That's just the business. That's the name of the game. But I do think you would see a big difference in some of these quarterbacks, especially if they had time to sit, hold the clipboard, sit in meetings with, you know, some of these great quarterbacks that are already established. And the Colts have an opportunity to do that with whoever they draft, because Rivers is coming in to be the guy. You're not paying him $25 million to be the backup, which Titans kind of had to do that, but last year. But I think that you draft somebody, whether it's the first round or they really like Jalen Hurts and they hold off until the second or third, and then you let him sit behind Rivers and develop and see what happens. This is the rundown. Go ahead.
One last point. Phillip Rivers' quarterback rating last year, 88.5. Brissett was 88.
So they're kind of similar. They're right there together.
A little bit.
Yeah. Well, there you go. He is Ryan Porth. I am Chasen McCabe. We're going to keep the football theme going, Ryan, when we come back. And Marquise is going to jump in on this too. Football movies. We all love football movies, and I think a lot of us have been watching some movies during the downtime, the quarantine time. We're going to do a little bit of a draft of our favorite football character or football movie characters. So we're going to do that when we come back. I'm looking forward to this. This should be a lot of fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
We'll do that on the rundown next, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into the rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Go to our Twitter page at 102.5 The Game to vote on our Nashville sports bracket, determining the best Nashville athlete of the last 30 years. Voting will take place through April the 15th. Chasen McCabe, Ryan Porth, Marquise Munson, my man, Hollywood Munson, back at the Game Nashville studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet, powered by RumbleOn.com. A lot of presented and powered, but it is time for our fantasy football movie draft. And I'm looking forward to this, Ryan. We've all seen some great football movies over the years, so I know that you have used some computer contraption to give us a draft order. Who has the first pick?
That is correct. The order of which we are picking is Chase McCabe 1, yours truly 2, and Marquise Munson 3.
Okay.
And this order was generated by fantasyfootballnerd.com.
I like it.
Well, that website sucks. How about that?
Marquise is not happy. He is not happy at all.
Tua is not going to be available at this time.
No, Tua will not be available.
So,
all right.
So what we're doing is drafting football movie characters.
So are we count? Do we decide that we're going to count coaches or just players?
We can do coaches.
Yeah, sure.
Do we have to draft coaches though? Can't we just sign them at the end? Maybe. Because I want to develop my team first, you know. Because maybe a coach that, you know, fits the scheme of my team that I want to sign later on.
Okay. All right. So maybe we draft 4 players and then a coach at the end.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
That's fine. We can do that.
All right, so this is a 5-round draft.
And we're going to snake?
Always.
Okay. All right. So it is my turn. I guess I'll get this thing going.
You are up first.
With the first pick in the fantasy football movie draft, Chase McCabe selects quarterback Shane Falco from The Replacements.
Oh, okay.
Good deal. Hey, you can have him. He's elite.
He's elite.
With the second overall pick, Ryan Porth selects Chase Young out of Ohio State. No.
Wait.
Julius Campbell, remember the Titans.
It's a good pick. Solid. Defensive line.
Strong side.
Okay. See, that was actually going to be my pick, but I'm going to develop my team.
Sorry,
Marquise. It's fine. It's fine. You don't even know who plays the actor that plays him. So, you know, Wood Harris. Shout out to Wood Harris. He's in three of my favorite sports movies, Creed and Above the Rim, also in Remember the Titans. And he's on The Wire, which I've been watching as I've been quarantining. So, my pick, I'm going to stick on the defensive side of the football because I want to build my team nucleus kind of around my defense. So I'm going to go Bobby Boucher.
Ooh.
Bobby Boucher.
Good pick.
I like it.
All right. So you get another pick here on the
I do,
the turn
actually.
Here, Marquise.
I do. And now I'm going to go to the offense. And I need some speed. Earl Maggot, who played in the longest yard, played by Nelly. It's getting hot in here, ladies and gentlemen. Earl Maggot is going to be my second pick. Running back out of the best movie, The Longest Yard, which is not the best movie. It's awful. It's an awful movie, but I'm just, you know, somebody's got to show that movie.
There are a lot of awful football movies.
The original.
Here and there.
The original Longest Yard, I've heard, was pretty good, but that movie came out in the 70s, and I wasn't born. So
Marquise, you go with Bobby Boucher and Earl Maggot.
Yes, I do.
So I got to protect a blind side. So I'm going to go with Michael Orr.
Oh, that's a good pick. That is
so
a good pick.
Michael Orr is my pick in the second round.
All right, so it's me now?
It is you.
All right, I'm sticking on the offensive side of the ball. Chase McCabe selects from Jerry Maguire, wide receiver Rod Tidwell.
Okay.
Second pick.
I like it. Show him the money.
Show me the money.
But, I mean, if you ask him for too much money, Bill O'Brien may trade him. So you may not want to ask for too much.
Luckily for Chase, Chase is the GM and not Bill O'Brien.
Yes. All right. Here's my next pick. Staying on, now going to defense. I will take from any given Sunday, Luther Shark LeVay.
Okay. Played by Lawrence Taylor. So best of both worlds there.
That's why I did that.
All right. I am going to stick with Remember the Titans, and I need a quarterback. So I'm going to go with Ronnie Bass. Sunshine.
I like it. Okay.
That's good.
So I'm going to also go with a quarterback, and I'm going to go Steaming Willie Beeman, Jamie Foxx. Because look, there's going to be a lot of speed on this team. You got Jamie Foxx and Nelly on the offensive side of the football. That's what I'm going to go with. I'm going to go with Steaming Willie.
Okay.
And with my last pick, could I pick? This is going to be for debate because it's not technically a football movie.
You're doing what I was going to do.
I want to go with Forrest Gump as my fourth pick.
I was totally going to do the same thing.
Out of Alabama. Roll Tide, roll.
He counts.
We'll count it.
I'm going to use him like Christian McCaffrey out there. He's going to be my wide receiver. He's going to be my backup running back. There's a lot of speed on this offense.
Okay.
When you got Steaming Willie, you got Earl, and you got Forrest Gump. So that's my offense right there. And then Bobby Boucher on defense.
I see you. All right. I will take Booby Miles from Friday Night Lights.
Is this like pre-ACL or post-ACL?
Oh,
like,
this is 100% pre-ACL.
Okay, I was just making sure.
Yeah. I'll take a healthy Booby Miles.
Hey, Booby, you didn't live.
All right, Chase.
Oh, man. I'm having to change my strategy here because Marquise got me on that.
I thought that he was going to go a lot higher. So when I kind of seen him on the board, I was like, okay, it's like Lamar Jackson. I'm getting like a hammy right now. Like, there you go. Lamar Jackson is the 27th overall pick. Here you go. So that's all why right. I'm sorry, Chase.
This is what I'll do then because, you know, Shane Falco needs some protection. Give me the singing man, Louie Lystick from Remember the Titans.
Nice.
Nice. I thought you were going to go Billy Buff for a second.
I thought about it.
But yeah, Louie. That's good too.
All right. So we have completed the first four rounds. So to recap, Chase, who were your four players?
I took Shane Falco with my first overall pick. I took Luther Shark LeVay, Louie Lystick, and Rod Tidwell.
Okay. All right. Marquise, who were your four picks?
Bobby Boucher, Earl Maggot, Steeman Willie Beeman. Got to say it like that. And Forrest Gump.
All right. My four picks were Julius Campbell, Michael Orr, Ronnie Bass, and Boobie Miles. So if we're continuing the snake here to figure out who our coaches are of these fantasy teams, Chase, you are up first in terms of finding your coach.
Well, it's got to be Coach Herman Boone. Come on, okay. Man.
I mean, he is the first overall and only first overall pick when it comes to football movie coaches.
Absolutely. Based on a real character. Based on a real Herman Boone.
Yeah. Okay. I will take, from Invincible, Dick Vermeil.
Okay.
I forgot he was in that.
You know what?
I forgot about that movie.
You know what? Since we're
it's
using...
a great movie.
Yeah, it is a great movie.
It is an underrated sports movie.
I like it. Since we're going... Oh, look, we've been picking like generic football movies, like Any Given Sunday, The Replacements, Remember the Titans. I'm going to, with my coach, I'm going to go completely outside the box here. Uh-oh. I'm going Molly McGrath, which is played by Goldie Hawn in Wildcats in 1986. That's who I'm going with as my coach.
Okay.
Completely out of the box.
It is out of the
box. And Wildcats is a great movie and has got a great soundtrack.
You know, either any of us could have gone with Cheryl Yost, Coach Yost's daughter, played by Hayden Panettiere, because she was essentially a coach the entire time.
Yeah, she was. So when Disney Plus came out, you know, I was perusing and seeing what movies were on there. That was one of the first ones that I saw. And I'm like, okay, you know, I want to watch it right away. Because, you know, when you get a service like that, you just want to jump in there and watch everything. So I took like a couple weeks, and then I had some downtime between work and a Preds game. I watched Remember the Titans right after, I guess it was right after Herman Boone passed away. Ah, such a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
I mean, if we were building a bracket of football movies, Remember the Titans would be, that might be the only one seed. It's that good.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those that you could watch 150 times and not get tired of it. Just because of the story and all the, you know, the one-liners and quotable moments.
The other thing that makes that movie great is the soundtrack.
Yeah.
The soundtrack is phenomenal in that movie. It's also phenomenal in Invincible.
Yeah, it's a good one on that one too.
And Wildcats is an amazing song.
Invincible's on Disney Plus too, I think.
It is. It is.
Maybe that's what I'll do on my Friday night. Watch some football movies.
Dude, Invincible is we recently watched Invincible, and every time I watch Invincible, I forget how much I enjoy that movie. It's a great one.
Yeah. It is. I mean, it's another one of those fantastic stories. So there you go. There is our football draft of movie characters from football movies. A lot of fun here on a Friday on the Rundown. When we come back, we will give you an update on our bracket. Plus, Matt Duchesne spoke yesterday, just kind of giving an update on how things are going with him. So we'll discuss that when we come back. It's the Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game. The Legend Killer bringing us back, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McKay, Ryan Porth, Marquise Munson. It is the Rundown. We had a lot of fun on our football draft. In the last segment, we got to try and work in some fun things as we all live the quarantine life. And speaking of that, Ryan, we have our bracket that voting started at 9 a.m. earlier, and things are underway with the Elite Eight because I've been looking forward to these matchups. You said that you thought it wouldn't be close, and so far you are right. Steve McNair leading the way with 63% of the vote over Roman Yossi with only 37%. Shea Weber and Frank Wycheck, though, is kind of close. Shea Weber leading 55% to 45% over Frank Wycheck. So we will have two players going to the Final Four after voting is done in this this round, and things will pick up again on Monday at 9 o'clock. But your thoughts so far?
Not surprised at all. I am a little surprised that McNair isn't leading by more. I said earlier in the show, and I'll stick to it, that I think McNair is going to get 70 to 75% of the vote, and that Shea Weber and Frank Wycheck are going to go down to the wire. So it should be interesting to see how that voting transpires throughout the day.
Are you surprised that – and I'm not. I'll answer my own question. But are you surprised that Wycheck, you know, so far removed from his playing career, that he's gone as far as he has?
Not really. I mean, if he was the only – vintage slash heritage Titan that was doing this, maybe a little bit, but we've seen in these voting results that over the last couple of weeks that the heritage Titans players, the ones from the heyday back in 99, 2000, 2001, 02, 03, from what that window, those players from those teams are the ones that are getting the majority of the vote.
What does it say? When you look at the bracket right now, you have Steve McNair, Legacy Titan, versus Roman Josi, current Predator. Frank Wycheck, Legacy Titan. Shea Weber, Legacy Predator, but still in the league. Eddie George, Legacy Titan, against Mookie Betts, current baseball player. Pecorine, current Pred. Philip Forsberg, current Pred. There are no current Titans that have made it this far. That right there is another prime example of how important it is for this current team to continue the trajectory that they're on to try and build some of these stars. So we're talking about them, you know, with some of the Titans legends. It's always going to be a little bit different just because that was the first team that was, you know, when things all started. But I think it just shows you how important they were to the history.
Mm-hmm. Well, 1,000%. And I thought it was interesting that Philip Forsberg topped Derrick Henry in the second round when that voting took place. And, you know, I think I said this yesterday, was, you know, just overall, this bracket, only one of the Elite Eight is not a former slash current Titan or Pred. And yeah, that was a little surprising to me, considering how many quality athletes have played in this town over the last 30 years. When you factor in Vanderbilt or just coming up through high school like Mookie Betts did. And Mookie's the only Elite Eight member that didn't play for the Titans or the Preds. It just goes to show you the sheer popularity of both the Titans and Preds in this town.
So there you go. Keep voting until 9 o'clock tonight, and we will start the final, or get some of the Final Four set at the end of the day today, and then on Monday vote on the other side. This thing wraps up on April 15th. It is coming to a close here in just 5 days, but it has been a lot of fun. Speaking of current Predators, you know, the NHL has been doing these Zoom calls to kind of keep players connected with the fans and with the media. I know the Predators have done some of their own things as well. We've seen, you know, different players send videos and do things, but Matt Duchene did a conference call yesterday with the Nashville media and just kind of talked about how things have been going on with him. But he was asked the question on what he thinks about going straight to the playoffs if they get back on the ice.
Yeah, I'm good with that. I think we've worked, you know, as a team, you work all season to make the playoffs. And, you know, obviously it'd be great to recoup the dollars lost and everything like that as much as we can as a player group and as a ownership group or as a league. But, you know, coming from a purely hockey perspective, we're in a spot right now, I guess, whether you look at the standings or winning percentage, it puts us in the playoffs. And that's what the last 13 games were there for to accomplish. So I'm going to jump in right in, to be honest with you.
They may not have a choice. I mean, that may be what they have to do. You know, I think you're going to hear mixed opinions on that, though. You're going to have some players that say, sure, I'm ready to jump right in. We can do that. You're going to have some that say, I would like some warm-up games because the intensity of the playoffs is so different. You'll see later on tonight, did a Zoom call yesterday with Chris Mason and Hal Gill, and we discussed that, of just how difficult it is to be off and then ramp up the intensity that you get with the Stanley Cup playoffs. Plus, who knows what the format's going to be. I mean, it may not be the traditional format that we're used to. It could be having more teams in and more of like a tournament type deal. So what did you make of his answer?
You know, I think the answers are going to be all over the board on this one. You know, I do think, though, the majority of the players are going to want at least some sort of game action before playing playoff hockey, right? I mean, it's going to be difficult for any player in the National Hockey League to go from a 3 or 4 month hiatus or however long this is, and then you jump into abbreviated training camp and then it's playoff hockey just like that. And I do think there has to be at least some exhibition games or scrimmages between two different teams just to help knock off the rust. Because if you just go from practices to playoff games, the intensity level isn't going to be playoff level. And if players try to play with that intensity level, then you are increasing the risk for injury.
Speaking of, as we wrap this up, speaking of playoffs, tomorrow at 1, we're going to air games 3 and 4 of the 2004 playoffs with the Predators. What's significant about that? That was the first playoff series that the Predators were in, the first home playoff games of their history against the Detroit Red Wings. Pretty cool that we're going to be going down memory lane. Chris Mason talked about that, of just, you know, the work that went into those teams, and Barry Trotz and David Poile and Brent Peterson, Peter Horacek, you know, everybody that was involved on those teams of helping them to get to that point. But should be a lot of fun to listen to those.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And it's the first time on our airwaves that that we will be playing those games, games 3 and 4 of the 04 playoffs. First two home playoff games, and I will always remember walking back to the car after the Preds got knocked out in game 6 of that series. My dad saying to my brother and I, that was the best money I've ever spent. And it was, you know, playoff tickets back then were nowhere near what they cost today. And, you know, we sat, I believe, up in the nosebleeds up in 302 or 301 for those playoff games. And I tell you, those were so memorable. Easter Sunday with David Legwand scoring the first ever home playoff goal, them winning those two games when it was completely unexpected against a much better Red Wings team. That will be fun to relive those moments tomorrow when we can replay those at 1 p.m.
Yeah, and you know, I've been sifting through them, and it's been cool to hear Pete Weber and Terry Crisp on the call. Because those were back in the days of simulcasting. They would do the TV and the radio. So
yep.
Cool that we have that audio, and we're going to be able to bring that to you again. That is at 1 o'clock tomorrow here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. That's going to do it for the rundown. Ryan, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you Monday
too.
At 9, but stick around. Darren Donick and Chase, that is next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.